I'm talking on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is first canto, second chapter and 17th verse and onwards. So I'm going to talk can you just change to 16th verse? So first to 16, that's what I'm going to discuss from 16th verse to 21st verse. It's a section of verses. And why I chose this section, because Srila Prabhupada often quoted these verses, and in his poem he quoted these verses when he went to America. So it is dear to Prabhupada, these verses. That's one reason. But more importantly, another reason is that these verses are the basis of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. This section of verses, a couple of verses. And the basis means these verses are talking about the steps to attain love of God. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami, that verse he has composed, Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya, how we achieve from Shraddha to love of God, the staircase to temple of love of God, that's there in these verses. The signs of love, which is the most important contribution of Mahaprabhu, that's there in these verses. And also the analysis of devotional service, that is there in these verses. That's why I want to discuss these verses today, so that we can understand more what we are doing and why we are doing. Let's read this verse. Shushrusho Shraddha Dhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punyatirtha Nishevanat. I'll just read what meaning. Shushrushoho. One who is engaged in hearing. Shraddhadhanasya. With care and attention. Vasudeva. In respect to Vasudev. Katha. The message. Ruchihi. Affinity. Syat. Is made possible. Mahat sevaya. By service rendered to pure devotees. Vipraha, O twice born. Punyatirtha, those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevanat, by service. At the street translation, O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. I'm not reading purport because it's too long and I just want to explain this section. So I'll include the points of Prabhupada in my lecture. I just want to start straight away now. Okay. Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Kshirun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Vaisha Deshtarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, this and few verses ahead, they are giving us the analysis of love of God and how to achieve love of God. In fact, the greatest contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, there are many answers, but can you just guess what's the greatest contribution of Mahaprabhu? Why he is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya, the most merciful incarnation? Why is that? Can anybody tell me?
He gives love of God freely.
Yeah, he gives love of God freely by discretion, but that's okay. But other acharyas also give. Ramanuja, he was very merciful. He initiated Shudras. He initiated low-class people and made them into sannyasis. He had 6,000 sannyasis walking behind him. Madhvacharya, he also initiated fishermen, initial disciples. He also getting love of God. So what do you say about that? So, any other guess?
Probably it's some special mercy if you get initiated by the Supreme Godhead himself.
You are using the word probably, so you are yourself not sure.
Why we are not sure?
No, I am saying you, the answer. Yeah. Okay, we can say one thing, that he is called Namo Mahavadanyaya because he gives love of Raja. Raja Vrindavan, which none of the acharyas gave. We can say like that. But that will not be the first point in the list. Of course, he is the most merciful. There are many reasons for that. Krishna doesn't do something without many reasons. One action, he achieves many goals. That we can do, but what's the first thing? First point in the list. Okay, so the answer is, he not only gave love of God without discrimination, but he defined love of God that nobody has done. No acharya has penned down the definition of love. No acharya has even penned down the goal of life as love. Most of them just talked about liberation. Madhvas, Ramanuja, Vallabha, Nimbark, they talk about goal of life as liberation. Mahaprabhu comes, he says, no, it's love. But then, if we read their works, like Divya Prabandha and all other works of all acharyas, their songs of South Indian saints, they are talking about love in their poems, like Andal and Kanakdas, Purandardas, Vallabhacharya. They are talking about love. They are saying, okay, liberation is a goal of life, but liberation means love. So that's how they go. Mahaprabhu comes, he says, no, forget liberation, it's love. But then Mahaprabhu, he defines love in all those works. Although they talk about love, maximum, all the acharya says, when we talk about love, our pen stops. We cannot speak. Aprape mansahasaha yato vacho nivartante. And they quote this verse from Upanishads. From whom the words return back. The mind cannot achieve that. That's love of God. You have to experience that. Mahaprabhu comes, forget it. I'll define it. And that's the most greatest gift, because if you can't define something, you can't achieve it. Isn't it? Your goal has to be defined. So we can say, okay, love of God is the goal of life, but then what's the definition? What do I do? How do I go there? And that is, the Nectar of Devotion is an entire book dedicated to defining love of God. In fact, these verses I'm going to talk about, they are defining love of God. So it's not Mahaprabhu just speculated definition of love of God out of his mind. Or Rupa Goswami wrote something in his book. No. Bhagavatam defines love of God. That is the uniqueness of Bhagavatam. And that is where Mahaprabhu took Bhagavatam as a center of all scriptures. Madhyastha Bhagavata Puran. This is the highest scripture. Because all of the scriptures also talk about love of God. Padma Puran, Harivansh Puran, they talk about love of God. Well, that's okay. But what's the definition? And he also defined the path to attain love of God. That's also not really defined in all other sampradayas. There is some process, some rituals, but scientific analysis, that's not there, which Srimad Bhagavatam is giving. So these verses are giving scientific analysis of the path to love of God and the definition of love of God, which is the greatest contribution of Mahaprabhu. That's why it's called the most merciful incarnation. He gives the definition of love to to us who are not even qualified to hear the term love of God. He's giving the highest conception to lowest people. That is His mercy. It is said by Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandramrita book that people who have not even heard the word dharma, people who even don't have any conception of dharma, to them Mahaprabhu comes and says, okay, fine, here's a definition of love. We are just in lust. And he comes and says, okay, this is love and this is definition. How are we going to understand it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the power to understand that also. Not only defines love, but we don't have the power because we don't have any idea about love, isn't it? Something which you have no idea, how can you understand? So he also gives the power along with that. This is the most merciful act of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why it's Namo Mahavadanya. And these verses, and the evidence for that is these verses. You have to always give a scriptural backup, otherwise somebody will say you're just speculating something. Okay, so these verses are starting from Shraddha to love, from faith to love. And what happens in between, these verses are talking. And if you understand these verses, we will also understand whether we are advancing or we are going down. We should know whether we are advancing or not. So these verses are offering you some milestones in devotion, no? So I came from Czech to Slovenia. So there were milestones, you know. Ljubljana is 100 kilometers, then 90 kilometers, then 80 kilometers, like this. So you need some milestones. Otherwise you don't know what you are doing. Otherwise years, months and lives can pass by, but you don't know what is happening. Because everything is happening in this box. It's nothing outside. Everything is in this box. And you have to know what's there happening. Okay, so Sukhdev Goswami, he says, the journey begins with Shushrusho Shraddha Dhanasya. The journey begins with Shushrusho. Now, these words are very important. Have a note. That's why I projected. I want you to show the word-to-word meaning, because Prabhupada is doing something very different in word-to-word meaning. His purpose and his meaning, word-to-word meaning, are very different. Prabhupada doesn't give word-to-word meaning in an academic fashion or literal fashion. He doesn't do that, and I'll show you that. He gives the word-to-word meaning in a very realized way. And how he does, I'll show you. So Shushrusho, this word means one who is engaged in hearing. Now Prabhupada says, the eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Now Shru in Sanskrit, that means hearing, isn't it? You can all, you know this, Shru Dhatu, that means hearing. But when you add Shushru, you repeat it again. Shru and Shushru, you repeat the word again, Shu and Shu. So that in Sanskrit expresses a desire to hear. It's not just hearing. You see? Just like, for example, in English also it happens. Suppose if you're very thirsty for 4 days in desert, you don't have water, your throat is cracked, and somebody brings a bottle of water. So, and he's just standing there. So you'll just run after him, and what you will say? You'll say, water, you can't speak, isn't it? You repeat it. I want that. So wanting is expressed by repeating the syllables. And that's in Sanskrit called as frequentatives. I don't go into that, but frequentatives. So when you say Shushrusho, it doesn't mean hearing, it means a desire to hearing. Desire to hear. And that's why Prabhupada translates as one who is engaged in hearing. If you have a desire to hear, you will hear daily. Isn't it? You are engaged in hearing. Prabhupada says this is a starting point of spiritual life. Starting point of spiritual life is not hearing, but is a desire to hear. And there is a difference in that. Hearing and desire to hear. You can be just sitting here like zombies. Hear something but not hear. Seeing something but not seeing. That doesn't serve the purpose. And one devotee, he was there, like something happened. I think Prabhupada is in New York somewhere, in the West. So Prabhupada was leaving in the car. One devotee ran in the West. And Prabhupada, okay, I have a question. Prabhupada, what is Krishna consciousness? He asked. Now, Prabhupada spoke many answers for this. What is Krishna consciousness? That's okay. But here Prabhupada gave a very succinct answer, to the point answer. And he said desire. And that's the perfect answer. Krishna consciousness means desire. That's all. That's all if you think about it. If we have a desire to attain Krishna, we will attain him. And that is why if you see Bible, there is a famous saying in Christianity also. Seek and you shall find. You have heard this? So it's a famous saying. So what that means, desire. So devotion starts with a desire to associate with devotees, to hear about Krishna. That is why this is Shushrusho. And then Sukhdeva Goswami says, Shraddha Dhanasya. When you have a desire to hear, then you develop faith. But then Prabhupada doesn't translate here Shraddha Dhanasya as faith. You see the point? Prabhupada translates with care and attention. And that is why you have to read Prabhupada purports and word to word meaning with care and attention. Prabhupada is doing something else. Literally Shraddha Dhanasya means, Shraddha means faith. He doesn't do that. He says care and attention. This is a very beautiful meaning, because if you write Shraddha as faith, it doesn't mean anything in one sense. Because faith is very subjective, isn't it? It doesn't mean anything for other person, it doesn't mean anything for me. If I say have faith, okay. Other person will say I have faith. Now what next? And if I say I have faith, okay, I have faith, but what's happening? It's very subjective. Prabhupada always likes to give word-to-word meaning which are very objective. That's why Prabhupada says this is science. Science means objectivity. Something which you can measure. And spirituality means subjectivity, which is, modern-day spirituality, isn't it? In modern-day spirituality, all these yoga people, meditation, they like to make everything subjective. Everything unclear. You go to their classes, yes, you have to connect with divine and reality, and you have read many books, you have to feel, everything is abstract. So nobody's life changes. That's why reading Prabhupada books, people become pure devotees, because you can see what's happening. So faith, so how do we know we have faith? Or how do we know any person has faith? The symptom of faith is care and attention. If you have faith in something, you will do that thing with lot of care and attention, isn't it? That is called as faith. If you have faith in deities, you will take care of deities. And you will do puja with lot of attention. And if you are not taking care of deities and you are not doing puja with lot of attention and you say I have lot of faith, it doesn't have any meaning. It's nonsense, isn't it? So, we can also judge ourselves whether we have faith or not. By this, if we are careful in our services. Now yesterday I explained what do you mean by care. Careful means careful to discriminate between love and lust. If you are careful not to fall into lust in your actions, in your thoughts, in your determination and in your feelings. Lust goes deep, it's not just in actions. It goes deep in our soul. Just like this building I saw from my room, there are some plants growing on the walls. It's an old building, I could guess. A very old building. Because there are plants and roots in the wall. Isn't it? And that's very... Sometimes it becomes very dangerous, you know, because the roots grow and wall cracks. That's lust. Lust grows into our mind, intelligence and soul. The root grows, and if they grow more, we'll crack. We'll fall down. So we have to be careful and attentive. Okay. So you have a desire to hear about God. And how do we hear? Sukhdeva Goswami explaining. Hear with careful care and attention. And then what will happen if you do like that? What will happen if you hear with care and attention? Sukhdeva Goswami says, Vasudeve katha ruchi. You will develop ruchi. Ruchi Prabhupada defines as affinity. Or interest. That desire will change form into interest. The desire is now maturing. Love is nothing but 100% desire to attain Him. So desire slowly matures now into interest. We develop interest into hearing about God. Now this word ruchi is very important, because in all our sandharvas and all acharyas and even Prabhupada, he uses this word again and again, ruchi. And in fact, all acharya says everything is defined by this word interest. You can know whether you are advancing or not by the measure of interest. The more interest you have, the more you are close to Krishna. The more you have interest in Krishna, the more Krishna has interest in you. It's reciprocal, isn't it? So you develop this interest. Now, now question is, how do we develop this interest and desire? What's happening? Like, how do we get this? It's not easy to get interest in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Like a strong interest. We have some interest, that's why we are living here. But a strong interest, interest like gopis, interest like pure devotees. Here, interest in the sense of addiction. We have some interest in service, but we are not interested in having interest. We are interested in having addiction to service. You know, there's a difference between interest and addiction and obsession. We want to be obsessed to serve Krishna, not just having some small kind of superficial interest. No. But that's very difficult. How to do that? That is a gift of Krishna. You can't attain it with your own efforts. It's not possible. Just by efforts you can't do that. Krishna has many gifts for us. He'll give us slowly on this path to in this path of grace, let me call us like that. By His grace He'll give us. But we have to qualify for that. That's the idea. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta used to say. You put efforts in devotion to qualify the mercy of God. By efforts we cannot attain God. That's impossible. That's not going to happen. How can a dwarf even hope to touch a moon? It's not possible. First of all, he's a dwarf. So you know this dwarf? First of all, he's a dwarf, and then he's desiring, I'll catch the moon. That's complete nonsense. Yeah, you can't do that. He's just imagining.
He can make an illusion, like,
it's actually touching. So you can't do that. It's just imagination, isn't it? So you can't do that. So you have to qualify yourself. So how do you qualify yourself to attain that interest in service? And that's what matters. Sukhdeva Goswami answers, Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. And Prabhupada says, Mahat Sevaya means service rendered to pure devotees. By serving devotees, and especially pure devotees, we can get this gift of obsession and addiction to serve Him. And you know what's the difference between interest and obsession? Servants have interest, but slaves have obsession. There's a difference between this. Now Madhvacharya, he said that Krishna is the controller, we are the controlled, isn't it? That's what his philosophy is. He's controller, we are controlled. Ramanuja, he goes one step further. He says, okay, he's controller, we are controlled, but we want to be controlled eternally. And that is why he brought the concept of servant. We want to become servant of God. Servant wants to be controlled by the Master. But then Mahaprabhu comes, he takes it further. He says, okay, we want to be servant, but that's not enough. We want to become slaves. And this, Prabhupada uses this word in Krishna book regarding gopis. Isn't Gopi Geet? Gopi says, we want to become your slaves. Now can you tell what's the difference between a servant and a slave?
Choose his master, the slave is forced to
worship
him.
Slave with love. Yeah. Not just by slave, not by force and tyranny, but with love. So just like a girlfriend says to a boyfriend says to girlfriend, I want to become your slave. And that's a different take altogether. But you're right. Can you just qualify? What's the difference between servant and a slave? You have to bring the concept of love in your definition. Then it becomes all right.
Slave doesn't have any choice anymore.
Okay, good. Yeah. Slave doesn't have a choice. Servant might have a choice. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, fine. And can you tell something else? Yeah, this is good. That's nice. You see the point, slave doesn't have a choice. Servant can choose, but slave cannot choose. Okay, one thing. Another thing. That's servant also, no? Isn't it? We are servants of Krishna. We always hear that our only purpose is to satisfy him.
He doesn't have his free will, slave.
No, that's what he said. You're free to choose something, that's free will, no? That comes in Shikshashtakam, by the way. We daily read Shikshashtakam in the morning, that's here in Shikshashtakam. Difference between servant and a slave. Our goal is to become slave from servant. We are advancing. Okay, so the difference is, okay, I'll tell you one thing. Now, I'll ask you one thing. If Krishna says, okay, you should chant, now Krishna comes here now. He can come? He can come. And he says, okay, you have to chant 16, you have to chant 64 rounds daily. I say, okay, okay, we'll chant. And then you have to do book distribution. And then you have to do pujari seva. And cook for me. Okay, so you're ready for that? Yeah, fine, we are all ready. And then Krishna says, whole life you have to do this, whole life. Entire life you should do. Not a single day you should miss. You're ready? Okay, we are ready. And then I'll send you to hell. Are you ready for that? Can Krishna speak like that? We can't say he can't speak like that, although he will not speak like that because he is merciful, but he can do anything. That's the first word of Bhagavatam. He is autocrat. Avigya Swarat. That's what we have to understand. The day we understand he can do anything, that day we'll go to spiritual world. But we have our own ideas, set ideas. If we do this, this is going to happen. If we do this, this is going to happen. That's not how Krishna works. That's not how spiritual world works. It's beyond our imagination how Krishna works. If we can understand how Krishna works, then he's not Krishna. He's not God. He becomes a human if we can work out what he does. So he can say this. Now the idea is, of course, he will not say all these things because it doesn't make any sense. But he sometimes can say what doesn't make sense. He can say to test you. He might not do this, but he can say this to test you. Whether you will still serve me or not. That is the last verse of Shikshashtakam. Ashlishyavad padratam vinashtumam, isn't it? Whether you accept me or reject me, still I will serve you. That's called a slave. A slave wants to get exploited. That is, servant doesn't want. Servant will serve, okay, and there's a reward. But slave, you know what you do with slaves? You use them and then throw them, isn't it? That slave, you don't care about them. There's no value of their life. And that is what we desire. That's what gopi is all about. Krishna, you use us in your service. And if we are not useful no more, just throw us away. Reject us if you don't want us. We'll be happy. If you want to reject us, if you're happy in rejecting us, we are happy in that. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu comments on this verse in Ante Leela. Ashleshava Padratam. If you see Chaitanya Charita. And he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the mood of Radharani, Krishna, if you are happy to give me miseries, those miseries are my happiness. That's a slave. Our goal is to become slave. Our goal is to understand that when Krishna exploits us, that's happiness. That is a gift of Mahaprabhu. The highest level of love. But that's very difficult to achieve. It's impossible. Sometimes it seems like that. How do we go to that level? But it is possible by Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Now Mahat Sevaya. Mahat means great devotees, pure devotees. Sevaya means service. Service to pure devotees. If we can somehow please pure devotees, Krishna will give this gift. Now this gift is nothing this gift is not something which you can touch or something. It's like in your consciousness. He'll raise your consciousness to this level. And that's a gift. So, what do we mean by serving pure devotees? Now that's another question. Serving pure devotees, okay. I'm serving Prabhupada. So why Krishna is not giving me this gift? But then Sukadeva Goswami defines what he means by serving devotees. Punya Tirtha Nishevanath. Now he says, by serving pure devotees, you get the gift, this gift of understanding. How do you, what's the science behind that? How by serving devotees you get this gift? Isn't it? So the science is Punya Tirtha Nishevanath. The idea is Punya Tirtha means who are cleansed of all sins. By serving pure devotees, our sins will get destroyed. That's how it happens. But you see the word here? Punya Tirtha. Now Prabhupada translates Punya Tirtha as those who are cleansed of all vice. Vice means sins. Now here's a contradiction. Punya means pious activities. And Prabhupada defines piety means cleansed of all sins. But that's not the real. If you see real literal translation, it should be by serving pure devotees you get pious credits. Punya Tirtha. Isn't it? But Prabhupada takes a different turn. You're cleansed of all vices. The idea here is even pious activities are sins. If you think about it. In devotional life, sins are sins and piety is also sin. Ordinary material piety. And Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam that for us even bad is bad, but even good is bad. And we understand that. And you know why? You know why? Because anything in this material world which is relatively good, let me talk about that. Anything good in this material world, so called material good, material piety, it will definitely lead to something bad. So in the end, whatever is a result, that's the action. Action is just by the result. Tree is just by the fruit. You do something good, but in the end it will end up bad. And you see history, that's like that. Einstein was a good person, a good scientist, a good man. You know by his history. He was not like a crazy nonsense scientist like Richard Feynman. You know Feynman? He was a physicist, like modern day Einstein. He's called modern day Einstein. Richard Feynman. Any physicist he knows. Probably might be knowing Feynman. So he used to do his physics in nightclubs. He used to go in nightclubs, nude clubs. He used to see naked girls and then he used to get ideas. That's what he was. He was like that. He was like crazy man. So but Einstein, he was a good man. But then he wanted to help humanity. He came up with this equation, E is equal to mc square. We know this. But then what happened? Atom bomb. So later in the life he regretted a lot. He says this is the worst equation I invented because they used to kill so many people. And that's with everybody. Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted to make India independent. Okay, now India is independent? No, it's more dependent. It's become worse. People say when Britishers were there, India was much better. And now they're all rogues and thieves as politicians. You see anything. So anything good in this material world is bad. That is why there are two concepts, relative good and absolute good. Bhagavatam begins with that. Satyam param dhimahi, Prabhupada translates as absolute truth. So relative truth, absolute truth. Relative good, absolute good. Everything good in this material world, so called, is relative. That is why people who are good, so many people seem good, isn't it? In the streets, they are good people. They don't kill anybody, they don't harm anybody. No drinking, and they are so called pious people. But according to Bhagavat's calculation, they are bad. Because they are doing the worst sin. And you know what? They are doing the worst sin. And what is that? Not serving Krishna. And why not serving Krishna is a sin? Can you tell me why it's not a sin? Why is it a sin? Okay, you don't serve God, Well, why it's a sin? You know, I'm a good man, I'm taking care of my family, and I don't harm anybody. There are people like that, no? And he speaks softly, he respects everybody, they are all moral things. But then you can say, my dear sir, yes, you're a good man, but according to Bhagavatam, you are the greatest sinner. Why? Why is like that? Yeah? Yeah. Yes. Because Krishna is always serving us. And if you don't serve him back, you're not a gentleman. You're complete nonsense. You're taking so many things. And you don't even gift a note of thanks to him by chanting his name. What kind of person you are? You are nonsense. The Prabhupada says, rascal, you know. Prabhupada says that in his books. And Prabhupada meant that actually. When initially I read Prabhupada's books, what's happening, you know, using such words, rascal, cats, and everybody feels like that. But anybody who understands God, he will understand that this is the right word. This is the correct word. For millions of lives he is helping us, and we don't even give a note of thank to him. We don't even chant to say thank you to Krishna. There is a method to do that, isn't it? You chant Hare Krishna. That's a method to thank him, isn't it? So we don't do that. Punne Tirtha Nishevanat. So Prabhupada says, if you serve pure devotees, you get free of all sins. Now the idea is, if you serve pure devotees, you get free of all the confusions. Now this is a confusion. Sin, good and bad. Well, pure devotee comes, he says, well, good is also bad. Now you understand this. So sins are born of confusion. Isn't it? And ignorance. From ignorance comes confusion. From confusion comes those actions which have no sense, which are very relative. And everything boils down into confusion. Pure devotee comes, he destroys all confusions. And that's how, by serving pure devotees, we become pure. We get knowledge, confusions are destroyed. We now understand we don't have to involve in good and bad of this material world. We're going to serve Krishna, and that's the best thing we can do. So Sukhdev Goswami says, yes, Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. And then what happens? When your heart is free of all confusions, then what happens? Then the next verse. You see how the theme is developing, how the path to love of God is developing. And everybody are milestones, you can understand what should happen with you. Now this verse, Sukhdev Goswami says, Shranvatam Swakatham Krishna. Punne Shravana Kirtana. Now what happens is, when your heart is cleansed of all confusions, Shranvatam Swakatha Krishna. Prabhupada says, you develop the urge to hear the message. In his own words, Swakatha. When your heart is cleansed of all confusions, now you want to know more about Krishna and his message. You're free of confusions, so you can see reality, and when you can see a glimpse of reality, now you want to know more, isn't it? So suppose you are in a dark tunnel, there's no light, and you see a point of light somewhere. What you will do? You just run, isn't it? Oh yeah, there's a light. So pure devotee gives you a glimpse of absolute truth, not relative truth. Which doesn't change. It doesn't end in something false. And then you develop an urge to hear about, the word is Swakatha. Swakatha means message of Krishna. Now you want to understand more and more. You develop a hunger. Now that's the idea. First there was desire. Then there was interest. And now there is a hunger to know God, to understand Him. And what kind of hunger? Prabhupada says, Sukhdev Swami says, Punne Shravana Kirtana. Now you have a hunger to hear about pastimes, Janma Karma, about activities and the message of God. Punne. Here Punne means related to God. Punne Shravana Kirtana. Now this is another gift of Krishna. I told you Krishna has many gifts. This hunger to attain Him, that's the greatest gift of Him. And, okay, so can you tell me a Bhagavad Gita verse where Krishna says, this is what Krishna gives you when you serve Him, hunger to attain Him. Do you remember any verse like that? So you know that, it's a famous verse. Okay, 10th chapter, 9th verse. Can we tell that? Okay, wait, not 10-9, sorry. 12-9. No, 12-9. So what's that verse? Abhyase apya samarthoasi. Krishna says, if you cannot practice what I say, if you cannot fix your mind on me, then what you do? Actually, I was getting that verse gone. Then you practice the rules of devotional service and develop a desire to attain me. What's that verse? I'm forgetting. I just lost that verse. Mam ichhaptam dhananjaya, Krishna says. Krishna says, you follow rules and regulations. If you cannot fix your mind on me always. This is the verse. So Krishna says, yes. Atha chitta samadhatum na shaknoshi mai sthiram. Tato abhyas. What's that? Abhyas yogena tato mam ichhaptam dhananjaya. Krishna says, atha chitta samadhatum, 12-9. If you cannot fix your mind on me, then abhyas, then you practice devotional service, what we are doing. And what with the result of this practice? Mam ichhaptam dhananjaya. You develop a hunger to attain me. From this level, actual devotional service begins. Before this level, it is a practice devotion what we are doing. It is not real devotion. It is like you are in a medical college and you are learning medicine, but still people call you as doctor, isn't it? In medical college is like that, you know. You are learning medicine, but then you go to hospital, you wear the apron, you know, apron, doctor's coat, and patients will call you doctor, but you are a student. You go for rounds with the doctor. So we are practicing something, people call us as devotees, but actually we should not be called as devotees. We should be called as devotee-like. We are trying to become devotees. Devotees is a big term. Devotee of Krishna. And that is what Chaitanya Bhagavat Vrindavan Das Thakur says. To call yourself devotees, you should have a lot of courage. Prahlad Maharaj is a devotee. We are trying to become devotees. But nevertheless, we call everybody as devotees, because sooner or later we'll become a devotee. That's okay, because we are in the process. If we stick to the process, it doesn't matter. And that is what Sukadeva Goswami says, Punne Shravana Kirtana Hirdeyantastoya Bhadrani. And when you develop hunger to attain Krishna, you lose the hunger for this material world. It's the same thing, no? You have level of hunger to attain Krishna, you lose the hunger to attain material world. Why? Because a soul can experience even a glimpse of beauty of Krishna, glimpse of beauty of His qualities, we can never be attracted to this material world. It's impossible. We are becoming attracted to this material world and also Krishna, there is something wrong here. It can never happen like that. So hirde anthasto hai avadrani. Avadrani means, Prabhupada refines as, desire to enjoy matter. You see? This is a very beautiful literal translation of abhadra. Bhadra means good, abhadra means bad. So Prabhupada could have translated as abhadra means your heart will be free from all kind of nonsense ideas. But no. Already confusions were solved. So you remember the theme, how I'm developing? You serve pure devotees, your confusions are solved, and then when your confusions are solved, you develop a hunger to attain Krishna. When you develop hunger to attain Krishna, then even the last trace is to enjoy matter. That's gone. And that's what we have to continuously look in our heart. Whether I want to enjoy matter, sometimes we can start enjoying Krishna also. And that's called as Krishna Bhogi. That's the term. Krishna Bhogi. You start enjoying Krishna. We have that disease to enjoy. We come here and we start enjoying Him. And that's the worst thing we can do. Enjoying matter is sin, but enjoying Krishna is an offense. Now, how do you enjoy Krishna? You enjoy Krishna. Okay, you come to Krishna. Krishna, please give me happiness and peace. You're simply asking Him things, isn't it? And in other words, there we were exploiting matter, but here subtly we start exploiting Krishna. If you think about that. Now here we are here to become exploited, but now because of that habits, we start using Him for our own comforts. And that might happen if we are not careful. And that's why many devotees also fall away, fall down. They start using the facilities given by Krishna, isn't it? We start using for our own comforts. And we forget this, everything is for service of Him. We forget all these things by the power of illusion. And that's what Prabhupada says. The tendency to enjoy the tendency to enjoy will finish. That's the greatest gift of Krishna. That's a very big gift. We no longer want to enjoy. We want to be enjoyed. Vidhunoti suhit satam. Our disease is gone. The confusions, the symptoms were gone, confusions, but now the underlying disease is gone. Desire to enjoy. And then what happens after that? Next verse. Now Sukhdeva Goswami says, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Yeah, this is very good. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavata naishthiki. Sukhdeva Goswami introduces the word naishthiki. Prabhupada translates as irrevocable. When your heart is free of desire to enjoy, almost nashta prayeshu, when almost everything is over, something might be there, some subtle thing, but at least grossly everything is over. You don't want to enjoy matter. The idea is, okay, fine, let me ask a question. How do we know that I don't want to enjoy matter? How do we know that? What do you mean by not enjoying matter? What do you mean by that? So, any idea for that?
Basic test is this sexual attraction. This is
basis for but I'm talking about a very subtle thing, because they're saying when almost it is destroyed, that sexual attraction, that's a very gross thing. That's you should be out of it. Huh? You're right. But now we can all think like that. You see, after 10-15 years of devotion, we start thinking, I'm free of lust and profit and adoration. It happens like that. Illusion will start confusing you. And we see history of ISKCON. Many great sannyasis fell down. We know the history. It's all there on that. Many GBCs fell down. Why is that? Because there were many reasons for that, but one of the reasons is some of them started thinking we are like Prabhupada. And it happened like that. We know that. And it should not happen again. Let's learn from the history. And we can also fall trap to all these things. We might say, okay, nothing will happen to us, but it doesn't go like that. We have to every second pray to Him, please save me. Because the more higher you go, the more chances are there to fall down. It's the more you advance, the more safe you are, but at the same time, the more at risk you are. Because the more advanced you are, the less people are there to warn you. Isn't it? There's nobody up. We are up. And Bharat Maharaj fell down just because of this. There was nobody to warn him. Bharat, isn't it? He was a king, he was renounced. His renunciation was unparalleled. He was king of entire world. His devotion was unparalleled. But the problem was, there was nobody to tell him, you're wrong, because who will tell him? He's the most senior man. And that's the problem there. So we have to really understand, what do we mean by getting freed of profit and adoration? I'm free of this enjoying tendency. That's what I'm asking. How do we know that? That's the point there.
Yeah, somebody has to tell us.
No, no. If somebody doesn't tell, I mean to say, after some years, suppose you become a guru, then who will tell you?
Maybe that you have desire to leave this body, to
why leave the body? No. Why you want to leave this body?
Because I want to be attached.
Rather, on the other hand, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur prays to Krishna, Krishna give me millions of bodies. He prays like that. Because I am not satisfied by seeing you with these two eyes. I want millions of eyes. Things change. The question is not about body. The question is not about the matter. The question is about our enjoying tendency. The object is not bad. We are bad. Body is not bad. We are bad. And that's
the
soul.
As we start austerities, I mean, in 18th chapter it is recommended that austerities and charity and penance should never be given up. So if we on all have noticed that we abandon one of strict austerities, then we should be careful about our insight. Because
oh, I can't understand.
How can we judge our insight sensibly? I mean, it's...
Wait.
Yeah. I mean, if you're already under lust, how can you be a sincere judge of what's happening to you?
Okay, fine. But there has to be a parameter to judge, no?
Okay.
There has to be. Yeah.
But we are all confused. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah. Now I will tell. I don't tell answer until unless there's confusion. Because if you don't have hunger, you don't feel the taste of the food. Isn't it? So I first create hunger. Because you know why? Because if I just keep on speaking, you will not remember the answers. Then I don't find the use of any lecture, personally. Like I give lecture and people hear and go. So that's my style anyway. That's how I do. But it helps. It helps actually. It helps, isn't it? It helps all of us to interact and think. ISKCON should have a culture of thinking. That's what I'm trying to bring here. It's not just class. It's not just answers. But what I'm doing service is that devotees should start thinking deep on Prabhupada's books. And that will help our movement. That culture has to be there. That's what I'm doing. So sorry to delay that. No. Sorry for that. But yeah. Well, I'll give the answer now. Last one. Okay, but that can be confusing, you know. Like we can say, I'm advanced, I'm thinking of Krishna's pleasure always, isn't it? Now the answer is, for this is, how do we judge that I have no enjoying tendency? The answer is by hate and fear. Now there's a role of hate and fear in devotion. When you start hating your enjoying tendency, it's not just I don't have. You will develop a hate. Now we like our enjoying tendency, isn't it? We like that. When some thought comes, we start brooding. You know, understand? You know brooding? We start thinking, our mind just goes off. Contemplating, yeah. Because we like it. But when we start hating our own enjoying tendency, that means we are getting out of it. When we start fearing it, you develop fear and hate for it. And that's what actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs. And then you can say, yes, yeah, now I'm getting rid of it. Because that fear and hate will not come easily. Deep in your soul. And by that we can understand, yes, sort of we are getting free of this. Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Dekhi shuni lage bhai, I fear this material world. When I see this material world, when I hear, I fear it. So it's not you become just neutral. It is not affecting me. No. Yes, yeah, illusion. No. We have fear, a lot of fear of Maya. Prabhupada said, no? Prabhupada said in one of the lecture. Prabhupada in one of the lecture, he was saying, you will all fall down. He said again and again. Devotees said, what's happening? then devotees said, Prabhupada, why are you saying this? Prabhupada said, because you don't fear Maya. No, that's the idea. Now there's a link there. So, the more the fear and hate we develop, fear from Maya and hate for our own enjoying propensity, we start hating ourselves. That's the idea. You start hating yourself. I'm so complete nonsense and crazy. And you start liking Krishna. Then you know you're advancing. And that hate should increase. Yes, I'm worth nothing. I'm so useless. I gave so much pain to Krishna for so many millions of years. I should be in hell. I should be condemned for eternity. That kind of thoughts, if they're coming, then this means you're advancing. The idea is, Ami to Amar Nainath, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I no longer belong to myself. That is the ultimate benchmark of knowing whether you're advancing or not. It's not the question of Manasa Deho Gheho Jo Kichu More. We sing that song. I offer my mind to Krishna, I offer my body, I offer everything. But Krishna wants more than all of these. Krishna wants you. I offer myself to you. And that day, I don't belong to myself. Then we can understand we don't have enjoying propensity. You see, so the devotion is not all about love. It's not all about love. There is a role of hate and fear in devotion. Don't forget that. Because love also has hate and fear. There is no question of love without fear. You know why? I'll tell you why. Suppose there's a person and he loves his mother, isn't it? Like you love your mother very much, I love, okay. And somebody comes and somebody tries to abuse, like speak bad words to your mother, what you will do? You will beat him? Of course. And if he still starts abusing you, speaking bad words to your mother? Yeah, but if he doesn't stop, then we'll beat him, because he's my mother, you know. And if somebody comes and speaks bad words to your mother and beats your mother, and you say no problem, I love everybody, keep on continuing, doesn't make any sense. Where there is love, there is war. Love is always accompanied by hate, always. Otherwise, love doesn't make any sense. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read Ante Leela, Shikshashtakam explanation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu slowly brings this concept of fear and hate in devotion. And that is why in devotion, everything can be engaged in service of God. If you leave anything unengaged in service of God, that will catch you and bring you down. That's how it works. So we hate. Who is stopping us to go to Krishna? Who is stopping us? Yeah, it's not Maya, it's ourself. We are stopping ourselves. It's not Maya, let's not blame Maya. Maya is not doing anything. Maya is simply giving you, okay, this is, you are choosing. If you blame Maya, Maya, why are you so bad? Maya says, I'm not doing anything. You are choosing, I'm just advertising. Why do you choose? It's your problem. We are the problem here. So anything which blocks us to love God, you see, so anything which will harm your mother, we will hate him. Because why? So anything which will harm the service of God, we will hate. And the greatest harm is we ourselves. We start hating ourselves. That's how logic goes. And that's how we know we are advancing. All our acharyas. That's Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm lowest of the, what's that? I'm like warm in a stool, he says. Rupa Goswami says, I'm a wild pig. They're always condemning themselves. All songs. Why is that? Because they hate themselves. They say, no, we are not good people. That is what is devotion all about. That's very important to understand. That is the platform of Naishthiki. Irrevocably. You're free of enjoying propensity. That's how you know you're free of enjoying propensity. And in fact, that's called humbleness, isn't it? I'm useless. I'm nonsense. You want to add? You want to say something?
Yes, I wanted to ask you, when you mentioned that we're supposed to hate ourselves, I was thinking this attraction and repulsion is just two different sides of the coin.
Okay, I understand your point. Attraction and repulsion on the material level, that is two sides, relative. But then there is absolute hate, absolute fear, and absolute love. Now we are on spiritual platform. Spiritual platform also we have sentiments, but that's not duality. In this material world there is reflection of that which is duality, you're right. But then there are absolute things also. That is what is our philosophy all about.
We often hear the Prabhupada says that we don't have enough fear towards Maya.
Yeah, yeah, he said.
And I'm thinking, because you know this anabhilashita shunyantya, we're supposed to have a process of bhakti and the goal of bhakti, which is like to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna.
We're supposed to do
it. So our process is kind of plus Krishna, not minus Maya, or I don't know.
No, but yeah, you're right. I mean to say, you see, giving pleasure to Krishna has many forms. So rejecting Maya will also give pleasure to Krishna. You see the point? He'll be so happy. Condemning ourselves will give so much pleasure to God. Like Haridas Thakur is doing. When Mahaprabhu goes, he tries to embrace Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur says, no, I'm sinful, isn't it? And he runs away from Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu says, please don't do like that. It gives me so much pleasure that my heart will burst. Your humility is melting my heart. That's what he says. So, pleasure is a big term. Accepting something and rejecting something, that gives pleasure. So rejecting Maya, condemning ourselves, it gives a lot of pleasure to Krishna, because that is a sign that we are devoid of pride, isn't it? So it's both ways, accepting, rejecting. Just like we have a friend, a girlfriend. So boy will do something for her and will reject something. If you don't like, I'll not do that. Okay, you don't like movies? Let's not go. It gives pleasure. So that's rejection, but rejection gives pleasure. You see? That's the idea. Is it okay? That's how it goes. So that's called Naishthiki. This platform is called as determination. Nishtha. Now Shraddha, Anarth, then Nishtha. Now we are fixed in devotion. Fixed. If these kind of sentiments we can understand, Krishna consciousness is all about sentiments, isn't it? It's all about your emotions and consciousness. But we have to know what's happening inside us. And what should happen, what should we expect. Now these kind of things we expect, these kind of thoughts to come in our consciousness, then we know, okay, fine, now we are advancing. Otherwise we are not advancing. Everything should be balanced properly. Nothing right there, nothing right here, okay? Like this. So we love Krishna and we start liking Krishna and we start hating ourselves. That's the idea. Our own enjoying propensity. We don't like ourselves. We like devotees. We like Krishna. As far as I am concerned, no, I don't like myself. I am worth nothing. That's a good idea.
But when you hate yourself, it manifests outside. How then do you be loved by devotees if you are hating yourself and anything who manifests outside? Of you, how you will be appreciating the devotees?
No.
I can be here and say like, I hate myself.
No, you should not tell like that. No. It comes automatically with devotion. We are not supposed to do like that. These are the gifts of God. When we advance, when we do what I have explained, slowly this will develop. So we should long for that day when these things happen, when we start thinking, I am nothing. It will come.
Not tell this. Why the previous acharya were telling this to themselves? Okay. I'm the lowest, I'm the weak, etc.
Yeah.
They should not do this.
No, they are telling this to give you insight that you have to achieve this platform. We can't achieve this platform overnight. We can speak this, but you should not speak this so much so that you lose sight of service. Okay, I'm lowest, and then no service, no. So these things are there, but they develop gradually. Our vision is fixed on service. The more you serve, automatically these things will come. Automatically, it comes. And it develops spontaneously. So acharyas are giving so many things. so many things, and that's a goal. But path is slowly and steadily, isn't it? If we start thinking always like this, then we lose focus of service. Now we have to plan how to serve Krishna. We have to spend your mental activities like that. Slowly, Krishna, by Krishna's blessing, we develop these sentiments. It happens like that. Serving Krishna is real humbleness. That's what it happens. You see, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. If a sweeper says, sweeper? Is there a word sweeper here? If a sweeper says, I am a sweeper, is it humbleness? If a king says, I want to sweep, that's humbleness, isn't it? If I am fallen, I say I am fallen, is it humbleness? It's reality, bhai. It's not humbleness. Why do you want to say again and again, I know you are fallen? But if an advanced devotee who is pure, like Prabhupada says, I am fallen, that is humbleness. So you see, humbleness is a very different concept. To become humble, we have to advance. We have to become pure. And then that sentiment will appear as humbleness to Krishna. Otherwise, it's reality. Krishna will say, why are you saying me again and again? I know you are fallen, you know. You do something to get up. You are messing up my mind. You are saying, I am humble, humble, but you do something. You spend your energy to serve me. Focus on that. And the more you serve me, the more you become my servant, the more you understand this concept of service and slave, and then you come and say to me, I have nothing. Then that is real humbleness, you see. So we start by saying something, I have fallen, okay. But don't spend much time on that. Spend time on planning for his service. Spend time to help this, help the world. And that things will automatically come. The more you become advanced, the more you make a sense of humility. Otherwise it doesn't make much sense. You see the point? So acharyas are advanced. They are so pure. And then they are saying, I am nothing. Krishna, for Krishna that is humbleness. You see, it's a very different understanding there. And that's why there are three types of humbleness. Superficial humbleness, material humbleness, and spiritual humbleness. Material humbleness is in material world. They become humble to flatter. Like employee and boss. Superficial humbleness is what we practice. That's okay. We are superficially humble. I am fallen and this and that. Okay. But real humbleness is something else. To go down, you have to go up. That's the idea. If you want to go down and become humble like acharyas, you have to go up in spirituality and advancement. That's what he's saying. Naishthiki. At this platform of nishtha, we become humble. When we are almost destroyed of enjoying propensity, we are free of enjoying propensity and we go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I am not free of Maya. I still want to enjoy matter. And Krishna says, yeah, yeah. This is, yes. I'm so pleased by you. You don't give credit to yourself and to me. That's humbleness. It's a very different take altogether. Yeah. And then we'll just finish.
I was kind of surprised that you said that we should hate ourselves. So,
hate ourselves means we should hate our enjoying propensity. That's the idea. Of course, that's, you're right. But at present stage, you know what? We are our false ego. We are so absorbed in that we have become that. We are not supposed to hate our soul and as a servant of God, but we have no idea we are servant. We don't have any glimpse of soul. We are just a bundle of false ego. That's what we are now. Let's admit it. We are that. We have become that. So in that sense, acharya says you hate yourself. You see? But then when you define it, then it comes. Hate your false ego. Yeah. Hate your enjoying propensity. We are in a very problematic situation. Let's admit that. But that is a... When we admit we are in problem, and when we identify the problem, that is certainty of advancement. Because the whole problem is we can't identify the problem. That is the whole problem. We are looking for answers, but we don't care for questions and problems. And that's why we can't advance. Once you identify the problem, you have a solution, isn't it? Once you identify a target, you shoot it. You don't know what's a target, so how do you shoot it? So that's why it's very important to understand what's happening inside. You see the point? That's how it goes. So I think we have to stop here, Rulu, or what? It's like that. Yeah, three verses more. Should I finish? Okay, yeah, okay, fine. So we stop at Naishtiki, determination. Now we are all determined devotees and absolutely pure. So tomorrow we'll go forward and try to see how we can achieve love from this platform. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.